Welcome to Living as a Jew, a daily lesson in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, a project of the Chabad of Kerry Jewish Center. Chapter 141, The Laws of Purim. Our sages tell us that it isn't only the one day of Purim that is a happy day, but the entire month is a happy month. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin Besimcha, as soon as Adar comes around, we are to increase in happiness. The Hasidic interpretation is we should try to be increasingly happy each and every day of Adar. And it is seen to be a month of good mazel for the Jewish people. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if one has to have a court case, they should try to schedule it for this month, being that it is a month where our mazel shines. The 13th day of Adar was the day that Haman's lot fell out, God forbid, that the Jewish people were going to be destroyed. That ended up being the day that we defended ourselves against whatever anti-Semites still insisted on trying to hurt the Jews on that day. And being that the 13th day of Adar was the day of the battle, it was a time of deep prayer that Hashem should save them. And many times we see that whenever the Jews were in a dangerous situation and at war, they fasted in order to invoke divine assistance. So we can safely assume the same thing happened during the story of Purim on the 13th day of Adar. And up until today, we Jews have accepted this day as a fast day. Now we call it the fast of Esther, Tainis Esther, even though this was not the day that Esther fasted. Esther fasted about 11 months earlier in the story, when she came in front of Ahasuerus, she risked her life, she came without permission. That actually was Pesach time when Esther came before the king. It was 11 months later when the battle actually happened. Nonetheless, we call this day Tainis Esther as a tribute to the self-sacrifice she did for the Jewish people when she fasted. This isn't a mourning fast day like many of the others. Rather, is it a time to reflect upon the fact that Hashem listens to our prayer. And when we daven from the heart, Hashem will answer us just like He answered us by Yomim Ahem Bizman Hazeh back in those days. The Shulchan Aruch notes that this is considered the most minor of the fasts, obviously more minor than a Yom Kippur or even a Tisha B'Av, but it is also more minor than the other dates on the calendar where we mourn a tragedy that happened to the Jewish people. This fast day is less than that, and therefore someone pregnant or nursing or even slightly ill does not have to fast on that day. Neither does a chassan and kala, bride and a groom, during the 7 days after their wedding. However, if someone is healthy, they should not separate themselves from this age-old Jewish tradition, and they should fast on this day before Purim. Now, in the event that Purim happens on a Sunday, the fast day obviously does not take place on Shabbat, neither does it take place on Friday. It gets moved back all the way until the Thursday beforehand. There is another tradition done on the eve of Purim, on the fast day of Esther, donating what is equal to half of the standard currency used in that country in tribute to the half a shekel that the Jewish people used to give at this time of year. It was in the month of Adar, where every Jewish family would give the half a shekel, and as a result of that, every year on the eve of Purim, every synagogue will have a tzedakah box out, where one gives at least 50 cents. The tradition is to give three such coins for a total of $1.50, because in the verse it mentions the word offering, turuma, three times. A minor is not obligated in this, but many parents will give the half a shekel for their entire family, so they'll be giving that $1.50 amount for every family member. Just to clarify, this is not a biblical mitzvah like the giving of the half a shekel that happened in biblical times. Rather, this is a tradition that was adopted to remember the half a shekel that once took place. And in most shuls, they'll have plates or tzedakah boxes with various causes to which one can give the half a shekel coin on this day. While Purim is not a biblical holiday, it is still a very significant day, rabbinic holiday on the Jewish calendar. And it says, in honor of the Megillah reading, one should ideally wear nice clothing just like Shabbat. Now, of course, many people have the custom of dressing up, but if you are not, you should be wearing nice clothing. This is a yontif. And it says, just like we prepare for a Shabbos or a holiday, and we clean the house and we set the beds, the same thing should be true in preparation for Purim. And we should come home to a house that is brightly lit, a table that's set, a house that's clean, the beds made, so on and so forth. During the night, we daven the evening prayer, the Ma'ariv, and after the Amidah, after Kaddish, at that point, the Megillah is read. The evening service is otherwise similar to any other night of the year, but in the middle of the Amidah, we insert the Al Hanisim, which discusses the miracle of Purim. If one did forget to say that, one need not repeat the Amidah. The main mitzvah of Purim is to hear the Megillah, and we should be careful to hear the Megillah both at night and the day. We hear it twice in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah. This is for men, for women, and yes, even children should be trained to hear the Megillah. But while it is beautiful to have children present, we still have to be careful that we are able to hear every word to be able to properly fulfill the mitzvah. If one is unable to go out to the synagogue or to an event, they should arrange that the Megillah can be read for them at home. Now, the mitzvah of the Megillah happens at night. After it is dark outside, that is when the mitzvah of the night Megillah begins. That said, if for whatever the reason one is unable to hear it at nightfall, especially a year like this year where it's after the time changes and it's very late, they can speak to a rabbi about the permissibility of having it earlier, because there are those that say that it can be read already late in the afternoon, evening time. We sometimes do that for our children's events over here. Ideally, one should not eat until after the Megillah. Remember, you're fasting because it's the fast of Esther, but if one is unable to concentrate before the Megillah, they can have some coffee or a beverage to strengthen themselves in order to fulfill the mitzvah in good energy and spirits. Tomorrow we will continue with other laws pertaining to the reading of the Megillah. The chapter began saying that during the month of Adar, we are to be happy. Mishenichnas Adar marbim besimchan. Of course, it's easier said than done. And so many people say that if I had A, B, and C, if this were to happen to me, then I would be able to be happy. But Chassidus says it's often the other way around. If we are able to be happy, then we will be able to see A, B, and C. Because simcha, joy, is in of itself a vessel to bring down blessings. In Kabbalah, it says, simcha peretz geder. Happiness and joy can break forth boundaries and fences. Kabbalah puts it this way. Sometimes if we want to access a particular blessing in an area of life, we need to be able to go through a certain door, and there might be a lock on that door, and we might need a very particular way to be able to bring down the blessings in that. And that is the key to being able to access those brachos. And every single one of these blessings has its own door and its own lock and the own type of avodah, service and mitzvahs necessary in order to rain down those blessings. But simcha, happiness, is seen to be the master key. It's seen to be the thing that breaks over the lock, breaks over the fences when a Jew is in a spirit of simcha and they live with a faith and an optimism in Hashem, and they live their life as if they already have everything that they need. That itself elicits tremendous blessings.